The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted to welcome back my good friend Dr. Eric Carlston for his monthly visit. Let's bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, greetings, Andy. It's good to talk to you again. This will be our number 61 program. So starting in 2017, we've laid down quite a few programs that, you know, the Chinese saying, may you live in interesting times. Well, we certainly do live in interesting times, and there's so much to understand that is being hidden from us in these days of deception, this age of deception. So I welcome the opportunity to keep our conversation going, to try to kind of cut through the fog and back to the truth, because the truth shall set you free. Could I start with a couple, just a brief couple verses out of Ephesians, Andy, to just get the arrow pointed north, and give touchstone a reference to some things we might talk about tonight. I was hoping to talk about organized gang stalking in the movies and a little bit on 9/11 and the phony war on terrorism. But here's chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, okay, so, we're not trying to say we're holy, you know, holier than thou. We're just trying to say by grace and faith, we believe Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he is the architect. He is the architect, the creator of the universe, and he is our salvation. And we have not always done right, you know, and so in a way this verse kind of is reaching out to the perpetrators of the gang stalking and the perpetrators of the crimes that we're trying to expose. We are in the age of grace. It's possible still now, I think we're in the end times, but it's possible still to repent and turn around and realign your life. So we're going to be talking about perpetrators, who they are, what they do. They are, I think, the children of disobedience. They are the children of wrath. Elsewhere in the Bible, they talk about the children of the devil. I think they are the children of the devil. We are dealing with spiritual warfare of the highest magnitude here, but we're still in the age of grace. I just wanted to say that. Any thoughts, Andy, before I jump into a little bit on I've got five websites that I'll kind of cross back and forth a little bit. 911nwo.com talks about what really happened on 9/11. Naturalclimatechange.org talks about how climate change really works, and it disproves the propaganda we're getting out of the UN and all the media and our governments. And then gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com now has 1,800 posts. I am a targeted individual, have been, I think, since 2003 or 2004. Didn't realize it until 2013, but in 2016, I started this website. And since 2014, I've been doing interviews about it to try to help educate other targeted individuals so that they can survive what is a hellacious program. Very, very, very dark and evil. And I think it's a growth industry. It's getting bigger. The powers that be, National Security Racketeering Network, with all kinds of, you know, retired military and police on board in their private security companies and private intelligence firms, are making killing, so to speak, financially, as well as they're actually murdering and suiciding and torturing good citizens, many of whom I believe, most of whom I think are children of God. So it is a spiritual war. And then I've got San Luis Valley Water Watch.com, and then my music site, EricCarlstrom.com. So we'll kind of go back and forth across the information there, because I think it's all kind of coming together. These are very big websites. They are information that's free to the public. And as a retired professor of geography, I've just simply used my academic research skills to, you know, plow through as many sources and books and articles as I can to ferret out the truth. It's not hard. It just takes diligence, and there are many, many others who are doing the same. So if one finds good allies, who are intelligent people, like, you know, like Dr. Day, Lorraine Day, that you've had on, and many, many others, it's possible relatively quickly to come to the truth of these matters.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, and the only comment that I'd make when you read from Ephesians there, it reminded me of something Rick Adams said, and Rick is the guy who sadly passed away earlier this year, but he does the disclaimer at the start of this show. But he made a comment on his radio show talking about the people that control the mainstream media, paraphrasing that from Ephesians by referring to them as the princes of the power of the airwaves, which I found quite amusing when I heard him say it years ago. It was a great line. I emailed him about it as well. So, yeah, that when you read that, that reminded me of the late, great Rick Adams. But, yeah, we've got a video as well that Eric has found for us, which is a snippet of a longer video. And so I've been looking for it, and I found it. But I'll include that in the post of this show if you are interested in it. It's from a longer video.
Yes, that's
that
great.
Does exist.
Let's wait on that, Andy. I wanted to mention a little bit about 9/11.
Absolutely.
Because it is so pivotal. Prince of the power of the air. Power of the air is like the force of the air. Well, as it turns out, if we go through books, and I've got like about 100 books and DVDs and other, and of course many, many more hundreds of articles. One great book was Crossing the Rubicon, came out early by Michael Rupert, who is a former LAPD investigator and also a Mensa, meaning very, very smart, high IQ guy. And he discovered four major Air Force drills that were going on the day of 9/11, you know, Vigilant Guardian, Vigilant Warrior, various others. And, you know, these had the effect of putting our fighter jets in the Washington, D.C. area up in Canada on that day, you know. So they were not available to be scrambled. And then another excellent book out of my library, too, is 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in USA by Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's also a professor, I think, of history. On the back, it says 9/11 Myth of the 21st Century. Well, in the fifth edition of his book, he went through, you know, being a historian, he goes through all the sources he can find, and he goes through news reports all over the place. He found that there were 52 drills that covered every aspect of the 9/11 attacks that just happened to flip live on September 11, 2001. Well, of course, this is exactly what happened at 7/7 in London. You're probably aware of that. This is how they do it. Okay, so who is they? Oh, I have to say, before I say who is they, also on the day of, as it turns out, Cheney, yes, was in the bunker, but the real government, the continuity of government, went into effect in Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado, under the underground bunker, which is Air Force operation. So Prince of the Power of the Air, in this case, the Air Force, was the lead agency of the quote-unquote interagency which Tarpley also outlines very graphically and in great detail. You know, hundreds of agencies were cooperating, as well as corporations and cities and New York City, et cetera, Giuliani, et cetera. So these things are planned radically in advance. They are operations, they're intelligence military operations. And not only that, but if you go to J.K. Bain's book, called 9/11 as Mass Ritual, the most dangerous book in the world, he talks about all the Masonic symbolism that was used in order to, you know, secretly convey to the public that Satan was let loose on this day, you know. Well, in terms of that, if you go back to the Kennedy assassination, there are books about how Masonic symbolism is used there as well. You know, killing of the king on the 33rd degree north latitude, all this stuff, all these goofy symbols. And mind control is used prominently in both, and talk about Prince of the Power of the Air. We have all these frequencies, and the CIA and the military have weaponized these frequencies, and they know which frequencies change moods you know, cause loss of memory and cause hypnotism. In fact, in 1962, they had radio hypnotic intracerebral control, RHIC, well developed. There are papers about it in the CIA, and that supposedly was probably used in the JFK operation. So we have this nexus of Masons, you know, who are certainly Satanists, with military and intelligence to run these operations on us. Well, what's the effect then of 9/11? Well, it launches. It gives a kickstart to this international war on terrorism. And in fact, the number of targeted individuals radically increased after 9/11. Targeted individuals as a phenomenon goes back to at least 1955, when these technologies of frequency controlling humans from remote distances were starting to be tested. But it's going on through the 60s and 70s and 80s. And then the 90s, it radically increases the number of targeted individuals in America and around the world, because the military wrote a memo saying, you know, anybody who's not doing what we want, you know, we can, you know, kind of intervene and, and target them secretly, you know. And after 9/11, of course, all these laws were already drawn up ahead of time, the Patriot Act and you know, the Total Information Awareness Act, you know, you have these lunatic fascists like Michael Hayden of the NSA, you know, just look like the perfect Nazi and acts just like the perfect Nazi. They want to bring in this totalitarian world order, new world order. And, of course, 9/11 was the catalyst for launching the global war on terrorism, which allowed the government then to go through this list of 10 countries, you know, that it wanted to make war on. And also designate anyone anywhere in the world as a terrorist, anybody doing something they don't like. Of course, they initially went after the Muslims. But it's important to realize that the script for 9/11 was written by a think tank called the Project for a New American Century, which is a neoconservative, which is a Jewish intellectual think tank, which includes guys like William Kristol and Richard Perle, the Prince of Death, you know, Jeb Bush and Dick Cheney and all these principal players. And they wrote a document in 2000 called Rebuilding America's Defenses, which said that, okay, to have these multiple theater wars, all of which, by the way, really benefit Israel, the plan's coming from Israel, to have these multiple theater wars simultaneously, we need to double the defense budget from $300 billion to $600 billion a year. It was $300 then. And so therefore, this will be difficult in the absence of a catastrophic catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. This is in the 2000 Rebuilding America's Defenses documents written by Project for a New American Century, with all these very famous neocon dual Israeli-American citizens, and Jeb Bush and various Americans as well. Well, David Ray Griffin, who was one of the stars of the 9/11 Truth Movement, wrote a book called The New Pearl Harbor, and then, like I say, many, many other books have come across the scene. But obviously, this was orchestrated intellectually through think tanks and then carried out, as per usual, by military intelligence, just like the Kennedy assassination. And Tarpley goes on to say that when you have an operation like this, there are typically three main classes that are doing the work behind the scenes. Those would be the moles, who are in government, like Cheney and Rumsfeld and Dov Zakheim, et cetera, the comptroller of the Pentagon, who lost $2 trillion just before 9/11, also a dual Israeli-American citizen. And then you have your patsies, which would be Mohammed Atta and, you know, the 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, and certainly Osama bin Laden, who is the, you know, was in fact working with the CIA in the 80s, and his code name was Tim Osmond, and he was helping recruit the Mujahideen terrorists in Afghanistan to have a proxy war against the Soviet Union and expel them from Afghanistan. And so, I mean, if you dig a little bit, you know, if you read, it's quite possible to understand exactly, pretty much exactly what happened. But, of course, the power of the media is so powerful that most Americans really probably don't know what I just said. They all should. I mean, the information's out there. It's on my website. It's on other websites. But the point is that 9/11, then, is just another created myth of the 21st century that justified this bogus, phony war on terrorism, which has proven to be the biggest, most profitable boondoggle ever for the military-industrial complex, according to Douglas Valentine, who wrote CIA as Organized Crime, How Covert Operations Corrupt America and the World. You know, $9 trillion were transferred in the years subsequent to 9/11 from social programs into, you know, the global war on terrorism, to these foreign wars, and to radically enhancing the police state in America at home and abroad. And that's where we come to organized stalking, because according to Mark M. Rich, who's written two excellent books about this, it is the New World War. It's not just a bunch of, you know, hoods from L.A. who are following people down the street. No, this is the NSA Global Spy Network. And there's an excellent series by political activist Susie Dawson on this, and I've transcribed her 10-part series and put it on my website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. Talks about how they do it. It is the mixture of psychological warfare with electromagnetic frequencies, microwaves, acoustic weapons, radio frequencies. Turns out the brain is like a radio. We receive and send signals, and these can be decoded with EEGs, electroencephalography. We've known that since the 50s and 40s. Dr. Norbert Wiener figured out how to read these EEG patterns that are given off the brain back in the 50s, and built a machine called the autocorrelator that could send and receive these EEG messages to and from the brain on 12 channels in 1955. And in 1959, part of MKUltra subproject 119 with Saul B. Sells from Texas Christian University had five objectives, one of which was to activate the human subject remotely through electronic means. 1959. This is how long they've been testing these things, secretly classified projects, on American citizens, starting with, you know, the usuals, the prisoners, the retards, the poor, the minorities. And now after the 90s, anybody who's not doing what the government wants gets on these watch lists and gets this kind of treatment, gets tested with these electronic weapons, gets manipulated with them, and can be trafficked, human trafficked, as we talked about last time, on a huge medical network to remotely access their emotions and their thoughts. And then this goes to various universities and hospitals around the world so they can analyze these things. FMRI is another one. Functional magnetic resonance imaging is very big. Magnetic encephalography. MEG is another one. There are many, many ways that the military, and these are all military technologies, all military weaponized technologies that are being used against citizens. So let's listen to that clip, Andy, please. This is coming from a great book and companion video called Monarch, the New Phoenix Program 3. And let Marshall Thomas explain this in his own words. This is coming from about 2011. Maybe 5 minutes. How about that?
Yeah, it's let me just give the audience the title. It's a YouTube video, and it's got video, so you're going to want to go to the show post and watch this. 5 minutes and 4 seconds. It says, the title, 1960s, 1970s, Monarch, the New Phoenix Program, Part 1, by Marshall Thomas. But as I say, this is from a longer video, and it is out there because it took me a while to find this segment that Eric wanted to play. So if this is something that interests you, then by all means look up the new Monarch, the New Phoenix Program by Marshall Thomas, and there are things that are a couple of hours out there that I saw. So that being said, let's mute us both, and here's the video.
The Vietnam War was the formative experience for a generation of CIA and military intelligence personnel involved in the Phoenix Program. They viewed the military defeat in Vietnam as a betrayal on the home front, a loss of will by domestic political enemies, not a military failure against a nationalistic revolution fought as a guerrilla war. The Phoenix Program, assassinating suspected VC sympathizers in a systematic manner, worked well and is the blueprint for the current black operation targeting thousands of loyal Americans using state-of-the-art microwave and radio frequency radiation weapons. The motivation to suppress domestic dissidents and to assassinate loyal American opposition stems from the perception of dissent against the war as treason. This philosophy is stated very clearly in the Mine War paper written by Michael Aquino. The Department of Defense has a huge stake in futuristic technology that kills by ionizing and non-ionizing radiation, leaving little or no trace. The indiscriminate killing of the Phoenix Program continues on American soil. The terms soft kill, slow kill, and silent kill refer to the new way of killing the enemy in conflicts short of war and the small wars of the future. The counterinsurgency doctrine has now been applied to the home front so that the perceived betrayal of the military in Vietnam will not be repeated. The generation of CIA and military intelligence led by Shackley, Helms, Casey, Singlab, Secord, John B. Alexander, Michael Aquino, Paul Vallely, and others have built the perfect beast using selective assassination that leaves no trace. The ability to cull the human herd with silent kill technology allows a few personalities to remake the entire society in their own image. Extremely low frequency technology slowly drives the target crazy with silent sound, similar to the CIA MKUltra psychiatrist Ewan Cameron's psychic driving technique used to break down the target's personality. The new buzzwords at the Pentagon are synthetic telepathy and psychotronics. Another means of attack on targets is the Smirnov patent that uses subliminal suggestion to manipulate human behavior. This patent was purchased by the remote viewing company SciTech Corporation. Military intelligence officers involved in developing these non-lethal weapons also control SciTech. Emotional manipulation is accomplished using Dr. Michael Persinger's work to remotely project emotional states that the brain entrains or locks onto and emulates. One can broadcast rage or fear at an individual target to manipulate and control them. As if these methods were not enough to torture and murder people, add to this nightmarish toolbox active gang stalking. CIA-created cults and other cause-oriented groups are used by actively harassing them in public in a neutralization technique described in counterintelligence operations manuals that are aimed at enemy agents. In the race to develop a new weapon, it has always been necessary to test it on human beings. perfecting the latest weapons designed to kill slowly and silently, as well as perfecting the process of controlling the human mind, are no different. Once the weaponry has been perfected on these few thousand people, the same techniques will be applied en masse to the general population, and then to humanity as a whole.
You just got a bit of music at the end there with some imagery, so check that out, folks. That was a lot of information in a short space of time. That's a good find there, Eric. Have you seen the whole film or just that excerpt?
Well, I have bought the third part, Monarch, the New Phoenix program, which includes that, and it's 45 minutes. I got it from Amazon.com. But the whole program I may have seen a long time ago, but I can't remember. But it's important to realize, you know, he says so much here. He talks about the Smirnoff machine and how it can add subliminal messages to the brain. You know, Jeff Rentz was talking with me and others, including David Icke recently, about how a number of people are just all of a sudden getting this thought popping into their head that, hey, I want to go take the vaccine. And they previously, you know, were very strongly committed to not having the vaccine. But they, according to the accounts, felt, you know, very light and positive and a good mood, euphoric. Yeah, let's go get the vaccine. Well, you know, and then he asked me, could this be, you know, kind of a subliminal message carried on these electromagnetic frequencies? And obviously, yes, this is old technologies from the 70s and 60s even. So I'm not going to say that's what it is, but you see, it's so difficult because this is all very deniable. You can't see these weapons, but they are called non-lethal weapons, but they include directed energy weapons, neuro weapons, which is a huge new area of investigation and research and deployment, I'm sure, in the military. They want a psycho-civilized society, and this is in their documents going back certainly to, you know, the creation of the UN in 1945. You know, they want, because war starts in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that peace will have to be enforced, is what the lady said at the founding of UNESCO, 1945. So, actually, it looks like our leaders have had a plan to enslave humanity with these mind control techniques for a long time. And these are black projects, classified projects, and now I believe they are on the threshold of all being rolled out with the vaccine, quote unquote, the Frankenshot, etc. Which is, yeah, essentially acts as an implant, like a stimulator, you know, like Jose Delgado in the 60s and 70s was. He invented the stimulator and put it in the brains of monkeys, and found out he could control them like a little toy doll. He could get them to fight. He could change the pecking order. He could make them hungry. He could do all kinds of things. He could remote control them as he did with a bull, very publicly and spectacularly. He got in the ring with a bull, and he had his stimulator, and the bull was, you know, completely you know, he lost his motivation to go after the human. Interesting, going back to that list of names, Dr. John B. Alexander, Colonel, not Doc. Yeah, I think he is. He got a PhD in thanatology, which is the science of death. He was the big promoter of non-lethal weapons in the military in the 70s and 80s, and it was his thing. And he finished up, I think, working at Los Alamos National Laboratories in New Mexico. But he is a big figure in all of this, the science of death, thanatologist. I suppose God would accept him if he repented. Other than that, I'm sure he's going to hell. Another name was Michael Aquino, who was a colonel or general in the NSA, and he wrote the Mind Wars paper of 1980 with Paul Vallely, and he is also the guy who set up shop with the military for the military at the Presidio in San Francisco, where he is accused of all kinds of raping of children, pedophilia, having his cult there. He founded the Temple of Set, which of course is a satanic cult, about the same time that Anton LaVey founded the Church of Satan. So, I mean, this guy is a Satanist. Satanism has been accepted as a religion in the military. I would argue that the military is a satanic organization. I mean, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, ye are of your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and a liar and the father of lies. Well, that's all they do is they lie and they kill. And this gang stalking thing is not to be sneezed at. I mean, in Mark M. Rich's book, The Hidden Evil, the financial elite's covert war on the domestic population, he says this is a cleverly disguised form of torture and murder. So what we have is non-lethal weapons, which there's no sign, and of course they can be very lethal, working overtime to destroy people's lives, along with psychological techniques which have been honed from our best universities. In reverse, we'll weaponize all this psychology, we'll degrade and disrupt and deceive and destroy the 5 D's of the GCHQ, which is Britain's NSA, and JTRIG, which is the Joint Threat Response Intelligence Group, which is the group out of GCHQ which does the cyber stalking and cyber terrorism. So what we're really talking about is state-sponsored domestic terrorism against the civilian population, just like 9/11 was. Trauma-based mind control, things that come out of MKUltra and Monarch, which is the weaponization and the military deployment of the MKUltra techniques to break down people psychologically, and use these non-lethal weapons to degrade and destroy their lives. So this is not fun and games. This is a huge topic. We've been trying to describe it in order to help people who are targeted, and I think there are millions around the world, many of whom don't know they're being targeted. So I see this perhaps as my highest calling right now, to try to help these people. Maybe this is a kind of a way, God's opportunity for me to try to help people who are being maliciously destroyed by these covert black operations and black market operations, because this is a huge business, the manhunting business, dark network supply chains. This gets into the Jeffrey Epstein science, CRISPR, changing genes. I mean, they want to transhumanize the world. They want to, I'll give you a quote that I'd read last night. This is coming from Keith Barker's book, Angelic Defenders and Demonic Abusers, Memoirs of a Satanic Ritual Abuse Survivor. So he was exposed to this as a child. He said, the high adept Satanists are transhumanists. They want to eliminate humanity, replacing it with some new species. And they want to destroy the natural environment through massive geoengineering. Well, this is exactly what we discussed last time with our, review of the film Technocalypse. I mean, this the people who are in control now are adept high Satanists who want to replace humanity. The stakes could not be higher. And we therefore have to respond appropriately, as appropriately as we can, because everything is under attack. And we have to know about the weapons they have. So Sun Tzu, in his book, The Art of War, said the person or the group that does not know themselves and does not know their enemy is going to continually lose. We have to know ourselves. We're children of God. God has our back. We are the best and brightest of his creation. And we have to know them. They're high adept Satanists. They're going to hell. They don't have souls. They have sold their souls. They want our souls. This is another purpose of the gang stalking. They want, Dr. Robert Duncan's book, Project Soul Catcher. So we are in a spiritual war of the highest magnitude, and we need to know what the tools of the enemy are in the psychotronics, and we need to know who the enemy is so we can respond, hopefully lawfully, and put them away. These people have no business ruling the earth. Of course, it is all scripted, and well, we know this is happening. It was prophesied in the book of Revelation elsewhere, but we can figure this out from a spiritual point of view and a technological point of view, is my point. And we can defend ourselves spiritually and technologically if we have that knowledge.
Yes,
I've
absolutely.
Been rambling, Eddie, so I'll stop for you to jump in if you'd like.
It's interesting how it all links up, you know. It's becoming more apparent now for people that this isn't all about money. It's about something a lot deeper and a lot darker. And whilst these people like to have a lot of money because they need that to do what they're doing, it's all about power. It's about power over people. And essentially it's about killing people that believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ, that are Christians. And that's why it's being led by the complete antithesis of Jesus Christ, which is Satan. And this is why you see all these senior people, as Eric just said, and I wrote it down for the show post, how the high-level Satanists are transhumanists who want to destroy the planet via geoengineering. And we see all these things going on, and these are the same people that say, oh, climate change, you've got to do this, this, and this to save the planet, when they're actively destroying it. Yeah, you're talking about complete evil here. And the other thing I'm going to bounce back to Eric with is that before the show, we've got about 15 minutes left, by the way, Eric, you mentioned that you wanted to talk about gang stalking in the movies. And that sounds like a really fascinating topic that we might actually use for the show title as well. So what have you got for us in relation to that topic?
Yeah, I think this is something that's a very good approach. In other words, there are many, many movies that are coming out of Hollywood and elsewhere that are entertainment movies that actually show us the dynamics of this. It's as if they're rubbing in our faces and saying, ha, ha, ha. Well, if you go back to the 30s, there was the movie with Ingrid Bergman and I think Charles Duvalier, Gaslight. And it showed how this guy was trying to drive his wife insane with these gaslighting techniques. Well, gaslighting is just a small part of the targeting that goes on against targeted individuals. I would recommend the movie just because Ingrid Bergman is so beautiful, as in black and white. But another one, in fact, there was a Mason that I knew who was a cardiologist in Cottonwood who in 2003 pointedly suggested I watch the movie The Game. well, I think Masons are very, very highly involved in this. I might have gotten on their list for some reason. And that list then, of course, went over to DHS, Department of Homeland Security. But anyway, the Game is about 1998. Michael Douglas plays the star. He's a rich, very, very rich investor, manager of investments in San Francisco. He gets swept up in this game, and I think it is a game to these people. But this very much shows you how the process works. His life becomes darker and darker, more and more unraveled as a group of people, which is highly coordinated, manufacture events around him, and they're playing roles. And it's very coordinated. You know, these would be called the perpetrators, the surveillance role players, the crisis actors, the spotters, the trackers, the people who are getting instructions now on their cell phones through their apps. What they do through this series of events, which are very bizarre, which involve breaking into his house and many, many other things, they completely unravel his life so that he loses everything. He loses all his money, his house. And then he is kind of driven to actually shoot his brother, who's the guy who gave him this game for a present. You know, what do you give to the person who has everything? He gives him this game in the movie. And so when you look at it objectively, they completely destroyed him. And it shows you how it's done. It's very dark, and these perpetrators act in a very coordinated fashion. They're shown more or less as actors. But this is what it's like. It's a very dark world. It's a hellacious world that the targeted individual is enrolled in, and their lives are just torn apart. Another jump in anytime. Another one which shows a different element of this is Enemy of the State, starring Will Smith, about 1998. Will Smith is a guy who was an innocent bystander, a lawyer who knew a guy in college who just happened to videotape a crime in Washington, D.C., wherein the head of the NSA murdered a congressman because the congressman wasn't going to vote for the bill he wanted, which calls for more surveillance, of course. And so this friend of Will Smith is running from the NSA because they have all their equipment, the National Security Agency. They were able to track him down very quickly with all their computers and all their surveillance and all their chain of command. And this guy knows he's in trouble. He puts the tape in Will Smith's pocket. And then, of course, the whole attack is against Will's friend, who then very quickly is killed on the highway on his bicycle by getting run over by a truck. But it shows the desperate attempt on his part to escape. And now, of course, the full force of the NSA is trying to figure out, okay, is that tape still around? And eventually they find out that Will Smith has it. And you see all the weapons they've got. Now, remember, Susie Dawson, this Australian politician who was targeted and so intelligent, identified the national security, the global national security spy network. Well, here it is. You can see the technologies they've got. You can see how they use them. You can see how they're corrupted, how they are used to protect government from its own crimes, such as, obviously, 9/11. So I recommend that one, too. Another great one is Control Factor, in which one actually sees the mind control operating. Dr. Ronnie Kilda, one of the most brilliant of all the targeted individuals, who wrote a book called Bright Light on Black Shadows, she recommended this movie for seeing how it actually works. She says, this is really what's going on. Another one is The Hunger Games, where members of society are pitted against each other in, you know, these blood war contests. I do think that gang stalking is a Masonic blood sacrifice, just like 9/11, just like JFK assassination. It's Masonic ritual. These are the children of the devil, and they have to serve their masters, who are the demons, by offering up torture and blood. The Hunger Games also shows the electronic battlefield. If you watch it, the first one, there is a point where you see the contestants, who are just these, you know, young kids from the different districts who have to, you know, play the survivor game. And then you pull back the camera and you see that there's a whole circle of people above them with their laptops, and that the actual contestants are in an electronic battlefield, that the people with the laptops can insert holograms, they can meddle, they can manipulate, they can do all kinds of things. That is the electronic battlefield. We are all in the electronic battlefield, and the battlescape is now the mind. And all the papers I've got from all the military people prove this. Another one, so The Hunger Games I recommend as well. It's also a good movie. Jason Bourne series also shows these technologies. And here was a guy who was, you know, enhanced in one of these super soldier programs. He goes rogue, and then all of the CIA and NSA technologies are brought to bear against taking him out, like they took out Will Smith, actually Will Smith wins in the end. It's very kind of comforting. He outsmarts them, but that probably is very rare. And likewise, Jason Bourne wins in the end too, but this is again the exception. But you see the technologies, and of all of them, I think there's five of them I recommend the most. The Bourne Legacy, which actually doesn't have Matt Damon, but it's got another guy. But it shows, I think, more information about how the system works than any other, and it's phenomenal. I mean, the the weapons that our military intelligence have to deploy against individuals is absolutely phenomenal. But you have to sit back and say, okay, what's going on? These are the greatest cowards and bullies in the world. You have billions of dollars worth of equipment. You have hundreds, thousands of people attacking one person. Well, that's what the New World War is. It's asymmetrical war. It's a fourth generation war. It's unconventional war. It's hybrid war. This is the world we live in now. You know, so again, if we know something about the technology here, that helps. The Truman Show is excellent because this is a story, I think, about coming from about that same time, late 90s, where this guy was brought up in a completely artificial environment where everybody is playing roles, much like your surveillance role players. And Truman finally figures out that he is in a world where everybody's pretending. And actually, the girl that actually loves him tells him at one point, everybody's pretending. And this is what it's like to be a targeted individual, except for people pretending in a target's life are not pretending to be nice. They're pretending. They use whatever anger, malice, controlled aggression they can to terrorize the target. So you're in a world, not generally speaking, of people pretending to be nice, but people pretending to hate you. And so you're in a world of hate. That's the real world of targeting. But the Truman Show is worth seeing. The Lives of Others is a movie that was put out in Germany and actually records life under the Stasi police. And they, of course, had a repressive totalitarian system. And they used a technique called Zersetzung, which literally means decomposition, to destroy the lives of the enemies of the state. And when the wall came down in 1989, they actually opened up the files and people were able to see what the Stasi police had written on them. And this was an attempt, kind of a cathartic attempt, to try to understand what happened. It's actually quite a good movie, a little bit more sympathetic to the bad guys than I would certainly be. and then another one I would say, Murder on the Orient Express. Being a target is like death of a thousand cuts. And in Murder on the Orient Express, which is, of course, the old Agatha Christie story, was recently put out again, shows a plan, secret plan, for 12 people to go in and stab this one person in the night, each one with one knife stab. And then the collective impact of all these stabs would be the death of the individual. It just so happened on that particular train ride, the Orient Express, was the greatest inspector of all time, French guy, and he was asked to solve the crime, which he did relatively quickly. But then he came to the point where, okay, there's 12 people here. The logistics are, I can't arrest you all. So you can go free. Well, this is exactly where we are, with the interagency doing 9/11, with the interagency doing the gang stalking. I mean, the number of criminals is truly mind-boggling. How do you lock up all those people, especially when the same Masonic groups control the judicial system and the cops and the military? So there's a logistical problem here. The number of criminals is almost greater than the number of non-criminals. This is the world we live in. So finally, I guess I would recommend Manchurian Candidate with the Frank Sinatra 1962 version, showing how minds could be split, dissociated, and programmed even at that time. This was going on during World War II, actually, and shows the Chinese doing it in this case, but and the Russians. But of course, it's America was always ahead of the curve in these games. According to CIA Director Richard Helms, we were always 5 years ahead of the Soviets, even though we used the Soviet capabilities as our justification for doing what we're doing. We are always ahead. So, you know, the United States does not come out as the good guy here. the CIA took on the Nazi experiments, full-fledged, brought the Nazis over with Operation Paperclip, continued them, scientifically figured out how to use satanic ritual abuse against individuals, technologically, through drugs. By 1960, they had gone through LSD and figured out, okay, our best bet is psychotronics. Our best bet is radio frequencies. Our best bet is electronic warfare, electromagnetism. Of course, it's easy to deny that anything has been done because these are on the airwaves, the power of the air. So anyway, those are a few of the many movies that are pertinent here, Andy. Another one by Nicolas Cage, I can't remember the name of, or he's in it. Nicolas Cage is the star. It shows pretty much exactly what's going on. You know, how lists are passed around, and you're on the list now, and now everybody you know is going to try to destroy you, and how all your relationships are going to be destroyed systematically. It's how to neutralize, eliminate torture and murder an individual without any trace. It is a very, very, very clever system. It is very diabolical. It is very evil. And to the extent that humans in our culture are going along with it or actively participating, I personally believe they have a destination in hell, because this is a very evil project, very evil. And I think it relates to the bigger project of transhumanism and destroying the earth. I think this is all the satanic network. I think the people that I see on the street who are doing this stalking are part of that satanic network. I really do. And that's why I started with Ephesians. I think, okay, we're in the age of grace. You might ask forgiveness and get saved. But if you don't, your destiny is clear. You stalkers are going to hell.
It is interesting, Eric. And the other thing, I'm going to those films, and I've seen most of them. But there was one, I don't know if you've got a list there as you went through, but I got obviously first Gaslight, then The Game, then Enemy of the State, and then I might have missed one out. I had The Hunger Games, then The Truman, the Jason Bourne series, The Truman Show, The Lives of Others, mm-hmm. Murder on the Orient Express, and The Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah, and then I also Control Factor, which shows actually how the mind control works.
Right, excellent. Okay, I'll write that down just so people have got these. And the one that you mentioned, The Game, that is a really good movie. If you've not seen it before, it's really worth seeing. It's quite amazing. It was the guy who directed Seven, I think it was the film he did after that. But it really is, it sort of keeps you on the edge of your seat. You really don't know what's going on. It's not like any other film that I've seen. I had a look at it on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it says it's got a... You know, we don't agree with all these things necessarily, but we go for them sort of yardsticks. And 84% audience score on over 100,000 ratings. It is a good film. Michael Douglas and Sean Penn from 1997. Rated R. And the other thing that I would mention before we go, because we're pretty much out of time, is The X-Files. If I could only take one Blu-ray, DVD, whatever you want to call it, box set with me to an island, and I would take that. Of course, it's extensive. I think they made 218 episodes from what I can see here. And of course, it came back in recent years. And the stories it came back with about people being infected with a virus and getting a vaccine and all this sort of stuff. I mean, it reminds you of all these stories that we saw in The X-Files that seemed remarkably prophetic for things that were going to happen. And the whole series, there's just something about it. And I think that they wove some of their, you know, cabalistic magic, as they have to tell us what they're doing in certain things. Just to sort of make the spell work, I believe is the last I heard. And I think that was one of the shows that they used that for. And the last two series, they were weak in places, but there's a storyline in the last two called My Struggle that goes through four different episodes, two in the second to last series and one in the last and two in the last series, I believe. But you'd have to look that up. So they really did, when I'm going to go back and watch them again and see how relevant they are to what we're all, you know, going through today, because it really is interesting. So, Eric, I want to thank you so much today. That was really, the whole show was interesting. You've got the video, folks, the YouTube to have a look at. Any last words before we go, Eric?
Well, no, thank you to you, Andy, for your you know, loyalty, for your commitment to expose these crimes against humanity. I do believe that this is perhaps the greatest crime against humanity in history, because it involves kind of a subtle murder, which also tries to capture the soul and destroy the free will. I believe it is very, very diabolical, has always been, and I think the only greater crime now is what's being rolled out with the with all these COVID shots in order to enslave humanity. We're looking at the enslavement of humanity, and of course, if you can control minds of men and women and their behavior, you don't need to, you know, shoot them. You don't need the blood and guts, and this is why the military has been so persistently interested in this from the get-go. They want to change the battlefield so it's all deniable, and break the will of their opponents. There's a lot in the literature about breaking their will, breaking their bodies, breaking their minds, breaking their wills, stealing their souls. I mean, we've reached a point where our technology is just so far beyond our wisdom as humans, so far beyond our ability to understand its ramifications, except for those who are at the top, who are the highest adept Satanists who are using these things, I think, to take over the planet for their Lord, Satan. So I think we are in the ultimate war of good and evil, and this gives me strength to know that that this battle must be won. We must hang in there. We cannot concede to the enemy in this. It's unthinkable. Unthinkable. So thank you so much, Andy. I think we did. I think the movie angle probably will help people get a better visual grasp of these things. So I hope that's the case.
Absolutely, Eric. Fascinating information as always. So thank you for joining me today, folks. Eric will be back again with us next month. You have been listening to Gang Stalking in the Movies. I would like to thank all of you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.